We are reading through the book of Acts in the Bible, and we're in chapter 10. So if you have a Bible with you, turn to chapter 10 of the book of Acts. If you like, there's a Bible at the end of every row, and chapter 10 is on page 1106. So Acts chapter 10, Peter and Cornelius. This is a story about the significant role of prayer in the life of a believer. Prayer is an element of this story that you cannot escape. The other aspect of this story that is just inarguable is the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. And so we want to talk about people who are led by God, people who are praying, people who are hearing from and following the Holy Spirit. Because where will you be without that? Where will you be without prayer? Where will you be without the Holy Spirit? In this story, where would these people be without prayer and without the Holy Spirit? Wonder about that as we read. In Acts chapter 10, you read at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius. Do you know where Caesarea is? Do you remember the map that we had up there? Because the map showed us Lydda and Joppa. And Caesarea is just a little way up the coast. Caesarea Maritima, they would refer to it in Roman times. So a guy up the road from where Peter was in Joppa, named Cornelius, a centurion, which means a Roman soldier, who was known as, he was of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continuously to God. I notice that sometimes in our images that we put up on the screen, it says time to pray. Like a category, like a file, like a space, like this prayer area over here, if you will. Do you pray if you don't go to the prayer area? Now, this prayer area, because in a church meeting years ago now, we agreed that there needs to be prayer going on before the service, before the 11 o'clock bell that starts it all. And so we considered whether it would be in this room, and it was moved into the back room because of the desire to pray, and but also what goes on out here when everyone comes in the morning. Coming and going, setting up, practicing, right? And then, you know, we've made a sort of a format change, and during the discussion of, well, we need to set up the creche when that is creche so that when they go in there, the children can be in there, we'll need to move. And then we thought, well, we move to the children's room, but the people who teach, who prepare all week in prayer and in study and in preparation of those lessons all week, and then come in on Sunday morning early to set up and to line things out, if you put a prayer meeting in the middle of there, everyone's kind of like, oh, sorry. And so in the middle of these discussions, we said, it can be out there. This was a discussion. So the prayer meeting is there because prayer matters. Because you don't just bump prayer and bump prayer. It's found its way back into the main place. Because prayer has a main place in the Scripture. What is Cornelius doing, this devout man, when you look at the Scripture? What was he doing? He was devout, he gave alms, and he prayed continually to God. 3 o'clock, verse 3, at about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. And he said to him in terror, what is it, Lord? And the angel said to him, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon who is called Peter. He's lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him. And having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. So here you have a man praying. Here you have angelic visitation. Here you have specific instruction to go to a location, to speak to a particular person, and for them to be told to come here. God communicating directly to the believer about specific activities and specific people and specific actions to take. You cannot avoid that in Scripture. Well, let's continue. In verse 9, on the next day as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop in the sixth hour to pray. What was that like, with Peter up on a housetop praying? Right? And people, they were downstairs and they were making food and they were taking care of stuff in the kitchen. But Peter, he was upstairs and he was praying. And the Peter came and the people came, right? So he's up there, the sixth hour to pray on the next day. And verse 10 says, he became hungry and he wanted something to eat. And while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance. What do you do with the word trance? That's peculiar to me. Trance to me is like whirling dervishes. Trance to me is like some funny looking person that's unfamiliar to my culture, kind of like, you know? No, those people, they look funny to each other. And I'm not ethnocentric. I'm not racist in that regard. But it's different to my culture. What does it mean to you when you read fell into a trance? I want to offer other words. I want to offer to you the word meditation. I want to offer to you the word vision. I want to say to you that a person praying daydreams in a way that God uses your imagination to communicate to you in a very focused way so that you're not really aware of what's happening just outside. Your belly that wants to get fed takes a back seat to this prayerful moment. He fell into a trance. And he saw the heavens open, This is a vision. And something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. And in it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him a second time. Again, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Peter in Joppa, 21 hours later, okay, the ninth hour Cornelius saw, and on the next day of the sixth hour, Peter has a vision. Now, this brings up the subject of clean or unclean. Do you understand kosher laws? They couldn't eat anything that ate, like bottom feeders of the ocean. They wouldn't eat shrimp or lobster. They wouldn't eat a billy goat. They wouldn't eat any animal that had its hooves cloven. So a full hoof animal they could eat, but the ones that are split they wouldn't eat, right? Or maybe it was vice versa. Maybe it was the split one they could eat. And so, but the regardless, God had already said, and I don't know if it amounts to anything more than don't eat animals that are able to eat the muck on the ground who are full of bacteria, and you'll get sick from pork out here in the desert, right? There's a practical aspect of it. But there was also, God said, you people, you Jewish people, are going to be set apart from others by your relationship with me and also by your dietary practice. You will be set apart from the world. And so these set apart people, set apart from the world, the others, those humans over there, Jewish said, those pork-eating people, no, thank you. We don't like their practices. We don't eat their food. We don't let our children marry each other even. Okay? Set apart to God. Holy. Kosher. And now here's Peter, and he sees food comes down. And when he sees the food, he looks over there and he goes, that food is the don't eat it food from the don't mix with it people. Oh no, God. Because when Moses gave us the rules, I learned them and I honor them. And I follow you. The way you've revealed yourself in the past. I follow you. I've made a formula and a rule. So when you, God, direct me to eat, I will not eat because I remember the formula and the rule. And I do it the way we've always done it. And I don't change from the way that we did it. We do it the way we did it. God, I don't know if you got your own memo. We do it the way you did it. And God says, no, 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 no. What I've called clean, you'll call clean, right? What does it say there specifically? What God has made clean, do not call common or unclean or unworthy or not special.